Foul Play, a murder game played by people whose business is murder. And here to see Foul Play is your chairman, Simon Brett.
Hello, welcome to another deathly, but I hope not deadly, half hour. Once again, we'll be starting with a murder and ending with a solution. And to navigate us between those two points, I am once again enlisting the brain power of two highly skilled professional crime writers. The first is Susan Moody, who has written books of psychological suspense, as well as creating investigators Penny Wanawaki and Cassie Swan. Susan is joined by a writer who, like me, has an actor at the centre of a series of crime novels. He is Simon Shaw. Simon's protagonist, Philip Fletcher, is, though, I regret to say, entirely amoral. Tut, tut. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest investigators. And once again, I'm delighted to say that all the characters in this week's mystery, the innocent and the guilty, will be represented by the infinitely various talents of Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. Right. Enough introductions. Time for a crime. Tune up your attention to concert pitch as Lee reads us the opening of today's mystery entitled, Oh Yes, She Is Dead.
The transformation scene in the Imperial Theatre Eastbourne's Christmas production of Cinderella had always got gasps from the audience, but never before on this scale. As usual, the audience gasped when Cinderella, dressed in rags, moved behind the kitchen range and, a nanosecond later, reappeared resplendent in her shimmering ball gown and long white gloves. As usual, they gasped when, behind another explosion of smoke, the pumpkin was replaced by a glitter-bedecked coach. But the sight that really made them gasp that New Year's Day matinee was what lay inside the coach. Lolling over its satin cushions in a spreading pool of blood lay Prince Charming. She had been stabbed through the back of the neck with the stiletto heel of a glass slipper.
Ooh, thank you very much, Lee. A seasonal flavour and a theatrical flavour to the crime. I think we'd better catch up on the official investigations into the tragic death of Prince Charming. We'll join a police press conference, which, in the absence of Detective Inspector Sargent, who is still on Christmas leave, is being conducted by Detective Sergeant Constable.
Yes, thank you. The name of the murder victim was Laura Shields, though she was better known to the general public as Zoom from television's all-fighting game show, Warriors. Daughter of a headmaster and formerly a bank cashier, Miss Shields was a fitness fanatic who got through the rigorous physical and mental tests to become a warrior. Cinderella was her first pantomime. The glass slipper which killed her was not one of those actually worn by Cinderella, a part played, incidentally, by Waylene Milligan, star of the popular Australian soap opera Homely Neighbours. No, the murder weapon was a prop used when the Ugly Sisters tried to make it fit their feet. The prop slipper was on a table backstage and could have been picked up by any member of the cast. The assault which killed Miss Shields is believed to have occurred only moments before the carriage appeared on stage. Certain members of the cast would seem to be ruled out as suspects because they were on stage at the time Zoom was killed. These include the actors playing Cinderella, the fairy godmother, and Buttons. This last part, incidentally, was taken by TV weatherman Rick Jensen. Most other cast members, including the ugly sister Sciatica, can provide alibis for each other. The only ones who can't account for their movements are Benny Trotter, who plays the other ugly sister, Neuralgia, and Crichton Trubshaw, who plays Cinderella's father, Baron Hardup. Oh, yes, he does. No fingerprints have been found on the murder weapon, but then as part of their costumes, both Benny Trotter and Crichton Trubshaw were wearing gloves. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Detective Sergeant Constable. Well, so, guest investigators, like a village bobby with a bicycle, you now have something to go on. Has it made anything any clearer?
Not an awful lot to go on, Simon, actually.
That is very true.
Yes. Yeah. Prop slippers and gloves. My crime writer's ears pricked up at that, but then drooped almost immediately because I'm not quite sure where we're going with them.
No, and there's nothing worse than a droopy ear, is there? Simon, any thoughts at this stage?
I think we need to see some more authentic smell of the grease paint.
I think we do. Right. Well, you're suffering from that problem experienced by so many foul play guest investigators, which is deliberate information starvation. It's time you knew a little more. So now we'll hear statements from three of the individuals involved in Cinderella at the Imperial Theatre, Eastbourne. And first, from the actor playing one of the ugly sisters, Neuralgia, Benny Trotter.
Well, I can't pretend I'm surprised. That Zoom was a right little stirrer. One of those girls who uses sex as a blunt instrument. Oh, no, she didn't try it on with me. I think she recognised she'd be onto a hiding to nothing there. Well, yes, I was backstage at the relevant time. I don't deny it. Fact is, the boy playing Buttons, Rick Jensen, had a quick change coming up. After Cinderella's gone off to the ball, he appears in a glitter kit and does his Only the Lonely routine. And this skinflint management doesn't have any proper dresses, so I was always on hand to help Rick with the change. Well, I don't know whether Zoom tried it on with Rick, but it wouldn't surprise me. He's a very good-looking boy. And she seemed to regard anything in trousers as a challenge. Mind you, I think actually Rick was more interested in Little Miss Australia. Yes, the girl playing Cinderella. I'd say the actress playing Cinderella, but it's not appropriate in her case. Oh, she's dreadful. Moves like a stripper. No, it's very difficult for proper actors like Crichton Trubshaw and me to work with his B-list celebrities. Well, they never had the training, you see. I certainly didn't have any motive to kill the girl. I don't deny I thought she was a right little pain, but that's not sufficient reason to kill someone, is it? No, the last few years haven't been great on the work front. Some rather ugly scenes with the bank, I'm afraid. But I always get an ugly sister at Christmas. The panto's my lifeline, actually.
Thank you very much, Mr. Trotter. If you wouldn't mind waiting a couple of minutes, our guest investigators will probably wish to ask a few more questions. Susan, perhaps you would like to put the first question to Benny Trotter.
Yes, he's obviously, I'm sure he won't mind me saying this, fallen on difficult times. Is the pantomime Ugly Sister your only work during the year, or...?
Well, you know, for the past few years it has been a little bit difficult. Of course, I've done a couple of murder mysteries, dinner... Guest falls dead in the soup, you find out who'd done it.
That sort of thing
is very boring, I generally find.
So did you feel that Zoom's complete lack of talent...
Oh, my God, she was dreadful.
Was she endangering the production? Was there any danger that you'd lose your job because the whole thing would be called off? She was so bad.
Oh, no, but you see, that's the thing with panto, you see. It's they come along to see the stars, so it doesn't matter, really.
Yeah, well, I think I'll hand over to you, Simon.
Yes, thank you. What sort of billing did you get, Benny, on this program?
Well, I didn't get great billing, let's say, but it was mentioned.
You were mentioned. Well, whereabouts on the poster were you mentioned, say, in relation to Zoom?
Well, the poster featured, of course, Whalen and Zoom. They were sort of the big pictures there. I didn't actually get a photo on the poster, I have to say, but my name is there in yellow print, quite small, underneath the sponsors.
Right. And can be read with the aid of a magnifying glass.
Oh, yes. Unless you stand very, very close indeed.
Right. But this in no way turned you against other members.
Oh, no. After so many years in the business, one comes to accept these things.
Of course, you're a trooper.
Absolutely.
Right. I have no further questions.
Mr. Trotter, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks awfully.
We'll move on now to our second statement, and this comes from the actress playing the name part in Cinderella, Wailene Milligan, well known to television viewers as Chandra in the television soap opera Homely Neighbours. Wailene, over to you.
Good day. You can applaud if you want to. Thanks, that's great. Hi. Right, well, I didn't have a lot to do with Zoom off stage, right? I mean, she was really just a glorified athlete, you know, not my sort of person. Yeah, well, Homely Neighbours sells all around the world, so I'm like an international star. I don't know why you're talking to me, actually. It's not like I'm a suspect. Well, ask anyone in the audience. Cinderella was on stage for the transformation scene when Zoom was, like, stabbed. Oh, you want a bit of backstage gossip, right? Okay, seems the only people who could have killed Zoom were, like, Benny Trotter and Crichton Trubshaw. Well, you can forget Crichton, you know. He's far too honourable, you know, an old-school tie, to do anything bad. He's got a title and everything. Anyway, he's a bit of a drunk. But he doesn't get aggressive, you know, with the booze. Just a little bit silly and sleepy. He wouldn't hurt a fly. He's a sweetheart, really. I mean, you know, far be it from me to criticise another cast member. You know, we actors stick together. But I reckon Benny Trotter must have killed Zoom. He'd got, like, you know, the hots for Rick Jensen. And he didn't like her muscling in there. You know, got a short fuse, Benny. Well, I think Zoom must have said something, you know.
I don't know, about like what she'd want to do or already had done, you know, with Rick, and I reckon that might have set Benny off. Me and Rick? Ah, well, he fancied me, sure, but then most men fancy me. It's something like you get used to if you've got a body like mine, and like a hazard of being an international star. No, I wasn't jealous of Zoom. No, not in relation to Rick. He'd only have responded to her if he thought he wasn't going to get anywhere with me. And I left it, like, you know, ambiguous as to whether he was going to get anywhere with me, you know?
Guest investigators, you now have 2 minutes to cross-examine the witness. Simon, maybe you'd like to kick off.
You say that you were keeping things open with Rick. What exactly was your relationship with Rick? Can you elaborate a little?
Well, he's a sweetie, you know. I mean, yes. we all got on well and had a drink and stuff after the show. But, you know, I'm saving myself for someone a little bit more famous.
Oh, I see.
You know, he just reads the weather here, and, like, I'm an international star.
Right.
And Homely Neighbours, you know, is such a big show.
I understand that the other big star of this show was Zoom, the victim.
Oh, yeah.
Did you resent at all having to share the bill with somebody of manifestly lesser
talent? No, I didn't share it. I was, like, above her name. You know,
above,
it says
yeah.
Waylene Milligan, and then it says Zoom.
Yeah.
And, you know, Waylene Milligan has far more syllables than Zoom.
Yes.
So I was quite happy with that. And also, you know, Warriors does well, but it's not like as big a show as Homely Neighbours.
No.
You know, we syndicate all over the world.
I know, yes. But her photograph was on the poster nonetheless.
Yeah. She wasn't looking her best in the photo, you know. It was taken when she was doing one of those things with the cotton buds. And she was bending over and, you know, she hasn't got the best.
I suppose she was looking at her best after the murder either.
No, in fact, I thought she looked quite nice.
Oh, did you?
The other thing is, you say there was absolutely no chance of you, i.e. Cinderella, killing poor Zoom with the slipper. But you were actually off stage even for a split second, weren't you, in the transformation scene? I mean, was there not an opportunity for you to pick it up and chonk her on the head?
No, but you see, when they say transformation scene, I have to transform myself from, like, you know, rags to riches.
Yeah, but it's just a Velcro thing, isn't it? You rip it off.
Have you seen the dress? It's a great big sugar-coated creation. I mean, it's fantastic. It's got diamonds and everything. It takes me ages to get that on. I really don't have much time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But did anybody else see you while you were putting it on? Did you have a dresser backstage?
Yeah, I have a little boy, Simon. He helps me. I think he just likes to look at my pants, really. But
who can blame him?
He helps me, yeah. And sometimes I have a quick drag on a Molly. That's all the time I have for, really, you know.
You've got time to have a cigarette?
Quick drag on a Molly light, yeah. Because I've got to keep my voice low for the singing, you know.
Right.
When you wish upon a star... Ooh, that sort of thing, you know. I had a lot of work on that voice.
Well, clearly.
Your talent shines through.
Oh, no, I've got a single out, actually, coming out in March in a Hello spread I'm doing the same time. So keep your eyes out for that.
Well, I think you've had enough chat with Miss Milligan. Thank you very much for being so gracious and, may I say, so very attractive.
No worries, mate. No worries.
Thank you.
See you later, eh?
Yes, I hope so. Right, we'll move on to our third statement now, which comes from the actor playing Baron Hardup in the pantomime, Crichton Trubshaw. Crichton, over to you.
That is a dreadful tragedy, isn't it? Dreadful tragedy. Beautiful young creature like that, struck down in her prime. So, quick... Right things come to confusion. Eh? I didn't actually have a lot to do with Zoom. Oh, yes, I got on fine with her. I always get on fine with people I'm working with. Ask anyone in the business. Old Crichton Trubshaw gets on with everyone, they'll say. One of nature's gentlemen. Yes. Well, I have got a title, yes. Never use it, but I suppose my background, public school, what have you, has been useful in the sort of parts I get. Aristocrats, silly asses. Goodness, I wish Telly would do another Woodhouse series. I was backstage just before the coach came on, after they go after the ball. I have a scene in the kitchen with Buttons. Rick Jensen, that is. Delightful fellow. What else did I see backstage? Benny Trotter was around. He helps Rick with his quick change every night. So generous, don't you think? And, of course, Waylene. Oh, she didn't tell you. A beginning of the transformation scene, it's her stand-in who's on stage in the rags. Waylene's backstage getting into her ball costume. That's how they work, the quick change. Mind you, I've never seen anyone get their clothes off as quickly as Waylene. Oh, looked like she had a lot of practice. Well, my career's had its ups and downs. I'm quite limited as an actor, I know that. But so long as there's some public school twit or Hooray Henry needs playing, I'm fine. The rest of the time, not so great. Still, Baron Hardup's a damned fine character, so long as I'm working, I'm happy. And at least no one can say I've ever been less than honourable to another human being. That's what counts, you know, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, yeah. It certainly is. Yeah. Right, Simon and Susan, Crichton Trubshaw is your witness. Susan, perhaps you'd like to start.
Well, your sentiments are do you great honour, I must admit.
Thank you, ma'am.
So that would almost rule out you killing anybody. I mean, that's not very honourable, is it?
Oh, good Lord, I wouldn't comment negatively about someone's tie. Never mind kill them.
How did you feel about Zoom? I mean, obviously, as colleagues, you got on extraordinarily well, I'm sure. I mean, actually,
well, she was a very nice girl, you know, very nice girl. I mean, I have to say, I mean, obviously, she was struggling slightly. It's her first penta, actually, but she was making a damn fine fist of it. She had an eagerness and enthusiasm that warmed the cockles of your heart, you know.
Did you give her any sort of tips on the side, you know?
Oh, well, when she asked for them, yes. I don't like to proffer advice when not wanted. It can seem like one is patronising in some way. But she occasionally came to me for a couple of tips, and I was happy to oblige, yes.
She admired you, in other words, and felt that your experience could be useful.
I wouldn't care to go as far as that. I would like to think so, but certainly I would never say so myself. You'd have to ask her, but then you'd need a medium, because she's now dead.
Simon.
I know you would never cast aspersions on a fellow professional, but did you notice any friction between Benny Trotter and Miss Zoom?
Well, you know, Benny is a funny old stick. He can get a bit waspish at times, you know. I can't help but feeling he had higher hopes for himself. I mean, I admit what I am, you know. I'm silly ass number three, and that's me. One line in maybe a BBC drama once in a while, but then that's it. No, nothing for me, and I'm happy with that. But Benny, I think he aimed high and didn't get very far. So when these young things come along, it brings the bile up in him, you know. I tell him, don't do it, Benny. It doesn't do your heart any good, old man, but he doesn't listen to me. A little bit of bile comes up. So, yes, there was a little bit of friction there, yes.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Trubshaw.
The door's always open.
Or should I say Viscount Framlingham? You see, I knew.
Ah, yes.
Well, guest investigators, you now have a lot more information. Most of it, I trust, conflicting. Does any of it clarify your thinking about what really happened in this gruesome case?
I have no idea what happened, but it could be any of them. It's the usual story.
You couldn't narrow it down any more at this point.
Well, it wasn't Zoom. It wasn't suicide.
Right. Susan, where's your brain at the moment?
If I actually had to plump for someone, I think I'll plump for Benny.
Things are not looking too good for Benny at the moment.
Right.
At the moment, yes.
Absolutely fascinating conjectures and possibly complete rubbish. Well, Simon and Susan, the next thing that happens is that... Goodness me! A large rectangle of cardboard has just been lowered from the flies. And good heavens, I think it contains some new evidence. Yes, it's a song sheet. It's got words on it. Someone backstage is trying to tell us something anonymously. How are we going to get the information across? Do you know, boys and girls, I think possibly if you in the audience can be persuaded to sing along, we may be able to hear what the new evidence is. Benny Trotter and Whaley Milligan, maybe you'd like to lead the community singing. The song would appear to go to the tune of Jack and Jill Went Up the Hill.
Are you ready, boys,
Are you ready,
and, girls?
Boys and girls? All right, then. One, two, three.
Tell you true to find the clue. Don't be a country bumpkin. Cause I bet you'll find it set beneath a fairy pumpkin.
Well done, boys and girls. That was fantastic.
You, right? That was great. Give yourselves a round of applause.
Absolutely
there.
Marvellous.
Fantastic.
Well, goodness me, what an incredibly talented audience we have. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, obviously, what we must do is look beneath the fairy pumpkin. Detective Sergeant Constable, is there anything there?
Yes, Miss Brett, I think there is. Yes, it's a crumpled piece of paper. It's a note written in the handwriting of the dead girl. And it says, I know all about your posing, and I'm just going to wait for my moment to tell the world. Yours maliciously, Zoom.
Well, Simon and Susan, that's potentially a bit of a turnaround, isn't it?
Yes.
Maybe there's a thread of blackmail in the case.
Yes.
Would you say that this new evidence changed your thinking in any way?
It would depend who it's addressed to, of course, would it not?
Do you think that's possibly part of the skill of the thing, that we don't know who it's addressed to?
So until we know, it's not going to actually change anything,
no,
is
no,
it?
Unless no, it we, might not.
We could examine the word posing.
Yeah, yes, oof, you yeah. could.
What we're looking at is either Playboy centrefolds... Or gay magazine centrefolds, perhaps? Or pretending to be something that we're not?
Good heavens.
Would you say that was a rundown on the word posing?
I think you've got it all, yes.
I mean, it is, if I may say, a privilege to see a mind like that in action, Susan.
Yeah. I'm astonished.
Well, I'm sure what you'd like to do now is summon back the three witnesses from whom we heard earlier. You are allowed to do that. You're each allowed to put one question to each of the witnesses. Who would you like to call first?
Crichton, please.
Yes, hello.
Mr. Trubshaw or Viscount Framlingham...
Well, no. Call me Crichty. All my friends do.
Well, Crichty, it's come to our attention that... Yeah. Somebody may have been alleging that you're actually not all you're cracked up to be.
Really?
That you may, in fact, be assuming a title. To which you have no right.
Well, who has a right to anything, really? I mean, just because one is born into an aristocratic family, does it make one better than anyone else? I don't think so. I certainly don't think so. So in a philosophical way, they're right, I suppose, but according to Debrett, they're wrong, I'm afraid.
You're in Debrett.
Oh, yes, yeah, was in several places.
Susan, do you have a single question to put to...
Crikey. I know that the life of an actor is a precarious one.
Oh, yes.
I'm going back to this, I think, very significant word, posing. Could I ask if you've ever been moved to do work that you wouldn't ordinarily wish to do in order to keep the wolf from the door?
Actually, yes.
Some
time ago, I did a couple of episodes of Crossroads. I played the gardener. I tried to affect a country accent. It was an absolute disaster.
Is this widely known that you lowered yourself to this level?
No, I'd... No,
would
really.
You be upset if it came out?
If that got around the green room, I don't know where I would put my face. I really don't.
But not... It wouldn't affect you so much that you might kill two...
Oh, good God, no. No.
Who would you like to call next?
I think we should call Benny Trotter. You say, Benny, that life has not been great for you as an actor. You've been very candid with us.
Yes.
Have you ever had to take jobs to make ends meet, of which perhaps you might be a little bit ashamed now in retrospect? I don't necessarily mean theatrical jobs. Mm. I mean jobs outside the remit of equity.
Well, I worked behind the bar once at the Pick and Trumpet
on
the Wandsworth Road. I wasn't very keen on that, I have to say. And I waited on tables for quite a long while. But apart from that, no.
You've never done anything in the photographic line, for example?
No, I did buy a monkey once in a Kodak and tried to make a bit of money in Trafalgar Square, but got nowhere.
Benny, your rather undistinguished career, if you won't mind my pointing out...
Well, thanks for rubbing it in, lady. I've never read any of your books either.
Been enhanced insofar as one could say it has been enhanced by the fact that your proclivities perhaps lean more towards the Buttonses of this world than the Zooms?
Sorry, what are you getting at?
Not to put too fine a point upon it, suppose the word went round that Benny Trotter was straight. How would this affect you?
Well, I don't know. It might ruin my chances of a Saturday evening, but apart from that, I couldn't think. No.
Since we have heard from the two gentlemen, I guess now you would like to call Waylon Milligan.
Before your huge success in Homely Neighbours, your career perhaps took a little while to take off. Did you ever have to take work before you achieved the recognition which you deserve, which you perhaps not want people to know about now?
I tell you what, I did used to work in a bar in Melbourne called Peepers.
Yeah.
I used to serve drinks behind the bar, and one night the dancing girl didn't turn up. She'd got a jippy tummy or something. And so I stood in for her. Bruce said, you know, come on, Waylon, you're on. So I had to wear a little costume and I did some dancing. But, you know, people seem to like my body and I like it too.
Yes.
My distinguished colleague and I are both trying to get to the nitty-gritty of this word posing. What is it that Zoom would be fed up with you doing if it was you that the note was addressed to? What is it that you could be posing as?
Okay, well, there might be some pictures of me flagging back from the days in Peepers, but, you know, I'm not ashamed of them because I'm a big enough star now for that to actually enhance my career rather than, you know, jigger it up.
Right. Yes. Well, you've had your questions. Now, I'm afraid, comes the moment of truth, or perhaps the moment of total inaccuracy. I am about to ask the great whodunit question. You don't have to agree on this, but Simon and Susan, where, mutually or independently, would you point the finger of blame?
I'm not convinced that Benny Trotter has any real reason to kill Zoom, because were he being blackmailed, frankly, he has very little to lose. Weylin seems so obvious as a suspect, I'm afraid to say, that I'm inclined to discount her and go for Mr. Trubshaw, who seems to me a fake through and through.
Really? Susan, where do you stand on this issue?
I suspect Benny Trotter, gentle as he appears, we've already been told he's got a nasty temper. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be at all surprised if Zoom had been trying to make out with Rick,
really?
And it got up his nose.
Right. Well, thank you very much indeed for those cogent and finely reasoned arguments. But are you right? We're about to find out, because it's time for this week's Foul Play, Foul Playlet. Over to backstage at the Imperial Theatre, Eastbourne, to find out what really happened on that fateful matinee.
They're enjoying it tonight, aren't they, Crichton?
Oh, I'll say they are, Zoom.
Listen, I want to talk to you about this...
Now, where's that naughty boy, Rick? I've warmed up his silk breeches on the green room radiator so they're nice and cosy for him. Excuse me, just off to wet my whistle.
Afternoon, Benny.
Listen, Zoom, I don't want anyone to know about that business at the bank.
Oh, really?
You know, when we met before.
Well, I might be persuaded to keep my mouth shut about it.
Yes?
If the price is right.
Listen, you...
Oh, put that glass slipper down.
Well...
Hey, what's going on here then, mate?
Nothing. I'll catch up with you later, Zoom.
Struth, what's his problem? You're right quick at changing, aren't you, Whaley?
I need to be, mate.
Aye, I bet you needed to be when you did the nude modelling and all.
What are you talking about, Zoom?
Now, those are a series of photographs Hello Magazine would really like to see. And I'm fortunate enough to be the proud possessor of a complete set of them.
Zoom, if you dare... Damn, that's my cue. I'll see you later on, Zoom. I'll get you for this.
Oh, hello again. I see you got my letter. Yeah, I know about your past. Not quite the way you presented the story, is it? Well, obviously, since my father was the headmaster, I saw all the pupils who came through that school, and of course, I knew the kind of school it was. It'd be called a comprehensive now, but when you were there, it would have been called a secondary modern. Isn't that right, Crichton?
Yes.
In Acme. Viscount Framlingham. I don't think so. When I let this out to press, I don't expect you'll be getting many of those upper crust parts, Crichton.
Oh, yeah, I will.
Oh, no, you won't. Crichton, put that glass slipper down.
Oh, no, I won't.
Oh, yes, you will.
Oh, no, I won't. Oh, no, I won't. Oh, no, I won't. Oh, no, I won't. Now I've killed the little lass, I can join the upper class.
So, there you have it. The true story of yet another dastardly murder. Many congratulations. Completely right and the right reason. And Susan,
yes.
I'm sure you helped Simon in building up his case.
You
exactly.
did. I couldn't have done it without her. It's a partnership.
Anyway, that's the end of this Foul Play. As ever, my thanks go to the brilliant Foul Play Repertory Company, Lee Simpson and Maria McCurlin. And also, huge thanks to this week's guest investigators, Susan Moody and Simon Shaw.
Foul Play was devised and written by the chairman, Simon Brett. The producer was Liz Anstey.